This is Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope. Gail Binkley is away this week. Stay tuned next month. She'll be back, and we'll have lots to talk about when it comes to politics here in the Four Corners area. Today we're doing a special edition, Talking Heads, and we're going to talk about food production, food marketing, and some of the trends, maybe things on the leading edge that affect communities here in the Four Corners. And joining me in the studio is Bob Bragg, as you know, from Ag Markets and More, former educator. Well, he's always educating people about agriculture, and a grower himself, and Taz Vass, who is the proprietor of the Dolores Food Market. And both of you, I was intrigued to be able to invite you both because you both have your fingers on kind of opposite ends of the all three of us do. I'm the eating person at the very end. Bob, you have your finger on the sort of production end, and Taz on the marketing and the idea of getting that food to people directly. I wanted to have you come in and talk about some of the things that maybe we're seeing out in the world and maybe how they affect the community. So, I don't know, without further ado, maybe a couple start in with maybe some things that are striking you about, both of you, about local fruit production, local marketing of that food, and the emerging trends that that seem interesting. Bob?
Well, I think that if we look at the trend of local production, it's just been going on a steady increase. And it we kind of went from where we were looking at, you know, large-scale food vending and the food industry, grocery industry, where it seemed like it was, you know, all the big guys, to this whole local food movement. And I think that's been the main thing. And also the fact that we've got largely young growers who are coming into the production, and that they have they don't want to go to the corporate world. They want to be on their own and produce food.
Yeah, recently we had we talked about, Bob, a little. The FFA is seeing young people sign up from urban areas more than ever.
That's right.
And at CSU, they have a huge demand for their ag programs that from maybe the first generation folks who haven't grown before.
That's right. You take a look at the number of students who are in the Department of Agriculture or the College of Agriculture at CSU, and it's something like 20% of them come from the farm, and the rest of them are all don't have farm backgrounds.
If you've just joined us, this is Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope here with Bob Bragg and Taz Vass. We're talking food today, food production, food marketing, retailing, from soup to nuts, literally from the beginning to the end. Taz, sitting over there in front of you, Taz Vass, the proprietor of Dolores Food Market. There's the food that you pulled a chart up that shows the growth in farmers markets from when to when? What are we looking at?
I knew I saw this someplace, so I looked online until I found it. This shows from 1994 at 1,755 registered farmers markets. 2013, we're at 8,100.
So, say those numbers again. The growth?
Well, we went from, you know, 1,800 to 8,100 in 15 years. Mm. And so that's about on line with us. We started the farmer's market from the store about 10 or 12 years ago and ran it for 3 years in front of the store on Wednesday afternoons. And maybe in the last 5 years, I've been seeing grocery stores all over the country running a farmer's market in their parking lots in front of their stores. The reason I did it was if quality is number one, then I should have the farmers in front of my stores for my customers to get the best quality. And so if we're talking about the quality of stuff, it has a shorter supply chain. I mean, we are – our salad mix is picked and washed and given to us in basically one day. And anything that you get in the big stores with their long supply chains, who knows how old it is, from, you know, 3 days to 10 days. Hmm. And it just can't be as fresh as the farmer's market can produce. And in our case, the farmers – we go through cycles in the local growers producing people food. Bob really knows how we grow hay, and we do all the stuff around here that's not people food. It's cow food. It's other kinds of it's hay for horses, and it's our perception too that the local growers have grown around here. There's way more than there used to be, and we also buy from all we can.
Well, I think that. If you take a look at what's happened with the whole farming community, is that we're seeing that that people food picking up, and rather than it being processed, and that's the problem when you see large scale commodity production, is we're dealing with processed food. There are somehow it's processed in order to be consumed, and if you look at the amount of corn that we're growing in this country, there's very little of it that's grown for actually human consumption. It's going through some sort of processing before it gets there. And the same thing with the soybeans and most of the other commodities that we see are really they're not going directly to the consumer's mouth, but going through a number of stages before the consumer can even eat them.
If you've just joined us, this is Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope here with Bob Bragg and Taz Vass. Bob Bragg, here from KSJD, Ag Markets and More, a longtime ag educator and ag producer. Taz Vass, along with he and his wife, Linnea, are proprietors of Dolores Food Market. And we're talking food production, distribution, and some trends across the country. So I was intrigued, Taz, to be in your store the other day and see the Ute Mountain Ute Farm and Ranch is now producing ground corn, for retail. So short supply chain for us here, coming about from 25 miles away, and I guess to put it together. And some other leading edge kind of trends that we're seeing are, it appears that some of the big box stores like Walmart, their margins are down a bit, and they're looking for new money overseas, new stores, because the ones that are in the States are less profitable than before. Headline from the last 2 weeks, Whole Foods is facing unprecedented competition from other Whole Foods-y kind of stores, Wild Oats and others, and maybe mom-and-pop shops like yours.
Well, yes. In theory, Whole Foods is a crossover store. They carry conventional half-and-half and organic half-and-half, and they put them next door to each other, like everything else. Even the big box stores like City Market, the Kroger's chain, Safeway, they've been doing the same thing for a while. We did it before Whole Foods existed in theory. We had organic half and half next to conventional half and half on our shelves 15 years ago.
Well, it's a standard operating procedure, it seems like now.
Well,
yeah.
It is now.
Yeah.
When we started, it wasn't. I was talking to my health food representatives from my supply companies. I said, oh, yeah. We're all going to go to the middle. The big stores will go to the middle. There'll be no differentiation between Whole Foods and City Market.
What does that mean, no differentiation?
Well, they'll all carry organic. They'll all carry conventional. They'll carry the same house brand aluminum foil. You walk into Whole Foods, they have a house brand aluminum foil because they're buying from someone. You know, Surefine, they're buying from someone to get their house brand, because nobody cares if it's organic aluminum foil. And so there's no differentiation between the big stores now. Walmart was on their way to doing that, but then they shrunk, they reduced how many varieties they had, and they cut a lot of their organic side. And but you know, that's the thing about Whole Foods. They've been, you know, that's the old joke, their whole paycheck. You go in there. I've been in their flagship store in Boulder, which they're already remodeling. It's really expensive, but they do a high quality, high service, high touch product that the other big stores don't do as well. And it's what I say to my employees: if price was most important, would the Dolores Food Market be open? And in survey after survey in the grocery business, price is fifth on the list. They'd rather have quality product, quality service, a clean store, other things. Price is low on the list. Only Walmart makes us think that price is most important. And if you look at the pie numbers, in a market like this, they might have 35% of the food dollars. Well, that's 65% to be had, from my point of view. At the national level, they have 10% of the food dollars in their retail sales. Well, that's 90% to shoot for from the other side of the pie. So Walmart is different. You know, Walmart's changing from what it used to be.
If you've just joined us, this is Talking Heads. That's the voice of Taz Vass along with his wife, Linnea. They are the proprietors of Dolores Food Market, and Bob Bragg is here as well. We're talking food production, retailing, and leading trends try to better understand how we eat and maybe how in our area we can take advantage of that here on this edition of Talking Heads. We'll be back after this short break. Stay with us. I'm Jeff Pope. We're back. This is Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope. Gail Binkley's away. She'll be back next month. Stay tuned, and we'll be talking politics next month. Today, we're talking food here on Talking Heads, and we are joined by Bob Bragg, my co-host on Ag Markets and More, and Taz Vass, who, along with his wife, Linnea, are proprietors of Dolores Food Market. And specifically today, we're speaking about food trends in food production, food retailing, and what's happening, and maybe what we see here locally based on some national trends, and where maybe innovators are running the other way to find ways to make this a more sustainable, resilient community. Bob, this is the show we always dream about. If we only have 4 minutes That's to right. do what we do on a daily basis, so we got a little time to expand. What are you seeing out there that is maybe on a national trend that we're picking up, or maybe here running away in the other direction that's becoming more, making our community better, I suppose.
I think that if we look back when I was running the Farm Ranch Business Management Program, we were providing education to farmers and ranchers all over this Four Corners community at the technical school. And it was a much different clientele. And at about 1990, it started to change, where we started to see people who were starting farmers who and ranchers who said, I need to start producing from some of my production and direct it toward consumers directly. I think that was really, at that point in time, you couldn't tell whether it was just a fad or a trend. And I think that we've proven, as we look at those numbers from farmers markets, that this is a trend. And I think that the trend is that consumers are wanting to know more about where their food comes from. They want to have some connection with those growers, and that's why farmers markets and small grocery outlets that are providing that local food are really growing in numbers, and the amount of the food that's being going directly to consumers is growing.
And Taz, at your end, can you when you work with a shortened supply chain, can retailers, marketers, can they find profitability?
Oh, sure. We provide our growers 60% of our retail, and we never have enough. The growers around here can't supply us with enough. So there's plenty of profit because we have no waste.
So in summertime, I get it. In the wintertime we're seeing even more locally grown stuff, too.
We're having
Four Seasons
is open this year. Growing just tons of field mix, salad mix, sunflower sprouts, and
you can't keep it on the shelf?
We can't keep it on the shelf.
Huh. Are you priced too low? Is there a price point?
It's just demand.
Really?
There's not much choice of local greens in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And Vic runs a good deal up there, runs his heat, and we probably aren't too cheap.
That brings up a good point, though. When we think about shortening the supply chain here, we shorten the supply chain, which means you reduce the amount of petroleum going in, theoretically, to a product because it's not coming maybe from Mexico or the Central Valley in California. On the other hand, shortening that supply chain but raising the elevation, it creates a petroleum problem in itself because you've got to heat to keep winter growing and sort of shoulder season growing. How do you guys think about that, this survival here on the Colorado Plateau, and having a shortened supply chain? Bob?
Well, I think that you look at the increased cost of energy, and that's really, to me, is one of those things that I look at as I study this whole situation, is that how can we continue to afford to carry fruit and vegetables from one end of the country to the other, as well as you take a look in the wintertime and you're getting fruit from Chile and places in South America and Mexico. Is that going to continue if we continue to have an increase in energy costs? And so maybe this is the local food movement is just ahead of what may be coming, which is going to be the economics of being able to ship that food, the distance that some of it's being shipped today.
My perception's opposite. From my point of view, we are able to function here in Montezuma County because of really cheap transportation fuel. That I'm off. One of my suppliers comes from California to me. He arrived yesterday. We're first off their truck. They drive on to Durango and Taos and stuff, and just bring us fabulous stuff from Central California. And in theory, we can live here because of cheap transportation fuels. Yes, they've been raising. So we raise a price underneath if the fuel price goes up a little bit. But technically, we're in pretty cheap trucking land.
Because they can get to us.
Well, yeah, the trucks can get here.
Mm-hmm. If you've just joined us, this is Talking Heads, Jeff Pope here with Bob Bragg, my co-host at Ag Markets and More, and Taz Vass. He's the proprietor of the Dolores Food Market. We're talking food production, trends in food, both nationally and locally. A local trend that we're seeing, or at least we're going to see a reaction to, is the Dean Foods just closed the dairy in Delta. Is that right?
Yeah, they had a bottling plant in Delta. It's going to be closing in July. 52 jobs.
Mm-hmm.
They had an ice cream plant there and homogenized and pasteurized milk. And I guess there was 5 dairymen left up there providing raw milk to that facility. And it's kind of a drag. I hate to see those kinds of facilities disappear, even if they're perceived small from Dean Foods at the top.
So that was a consolidation to go from a smaller facility, and they consolidated from Delta to Grand Junction?
No, it's actually to Salt Lake and Denver.
Uh-huh.
We won't have a bottling plant on the Western Slope anymore.
So are those dairymen and women, are they going to be sending their milk to Salt Lake and elsewhere?
Or sounds like one of them is big enough to buy trucks to truck it to Denver or Salt Lake, and hopefully he will co-op with the other 4 that they can all do it.
Hmm. That really happened here. When I first came here, there were a number of dairies in the area, and there weren't any processing facilities, so they were going to Albuquerque, and then finally the milk was going on down into Roswell, and finally it was just too expensive to carry it that far, so the last couple of dairies went out of business. I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years ago.
Is there a niche? Like you look at that and you go, well, now it's having to come from Denver, from Salt Lake. Is there some sort of way that a local producer in dairy can meet a need and find a price point? Or is that horse out the gate because petroleum is so cheap?
Well, there's a Graft Dairy in Grand Junction that's a very small dairy, and as I understand, the last I knew, they still were milking their own cows and processing it. That I helped a dairy producer look at that as a possibility. At that point in time, the economics of it didn't work for him. It would take a considerable investment in order to make that processing facility, you know, in other words, get into the processing facility.
I think the other side we don't see is all the empty bottles are trucked in. They're not making plastic bottles in Delta. Mm-hmm. So all these gallons of air are trucked into Delta to be filled with, to be displaced by milk. And so the freight on the bottles has had to have grown too.
That just builds it. You know, it's we don't have enough time to talk about everything we do, but as you guys leave this discussion, maybe we head into another one sometime in the future. What are the questions you have about growing our own capacity here for production, for retailing, and for being a more resilient community? Bob, what questions come up for you that we as a community ought to be asking?
I think infrastructure. You know, you talk about all this stuff. We're talking about infrastructure, and there's a move to try to get a distribution facility here. But as Taz points out, you got to have the growers that are going to be
distribution facility for what?
For produce.
Oh, okay.
And there's a grant, and they're looking at that. But that you got to have the growers, so that base has to be built in order to make something like that worthwhile.
Yep. Taz, what questions come up for you?
From our point of view, people buy salad mix every day. So we would not stop buying from California or other places to get salad mix into our store because we carry the local and the Californian organic. So it'd have to be with a lot of growers to actually offset that salad mix demand every day. So I don't know if that's a question, but in theory, anybody around here that could go into it, they can't grow enough. There's plenty of demand in this county to grow all the salad mix we can consume.
Really?
And still buy more from the outside.
And that's just at your store?
Just at my store.
So we're not even talking about the bigger box stores.
Four Seasons did the Saturday Farmers Market, and it grew every week, and he was pretty pleased, and it made us busier too on Saturdays in the winter. He had people coming over from Durango, and so more farmers markets is the question I want. You know, in theory, the farmers market here is full. Someone needs to start a Wednesday afternoon farmers market here in Cortez for commuters.
All right. Well, that's going to have to wrap it up here for Talking Heads today. My guests have been Bob Bragg, who's my co-host on Ag Markets and More most days. Taz Vass is here as well. Thank you, Taz, for coming in. Taz and his wife are the proprietors of Dolores Food Market. It's been an interesting conversation. I hope we can continue. We've been talking about food production, consumption, national trends, and local trends. So thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. That's going to wrap it up for Talking Heads. Stay tuned to KSJD for all your news, information, and entertainment.